Steel Plaza. Please stand clear of the doors.
Steel Plaza Podcast, 303 East Main Street, from right here at Sound Color Productions. In studio with us today, Cora, who do we have?
Oh man, we have Renee and Steve, and I forgot to ask you how do you pronounce your last name, so I'm just going to ask you to tell me that.
My name is Steve Gottschalk.
And technically, legally, my name is also Renee Gottschalk now.
Oh.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you.
Wow. Yes,
I'm Ravenold, though, still on like most things.
Yeah,
but my social security card now.
Wow.
She earns money as Renee Ravenold, and she pays taxes as Renee
Gottschalk. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yes, congratulations. This is our first couple, our married couple, that we're having on the show.
Love and marry.
Yeah. We're going to also be doing singing since we don't have a musical guest this week.
So
I'm glad that Steve started it off.
I'm going to sing Seven Bridges Road by the Eagles. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll try to limit my repertoire to things that you have the rights to.
Oh, don't worry. We have a great budget. It's completely professional here. So I have your information. You guys have a lot on your resume. All right. So Renee has a BFA in acting from Point Park University and performs with long-running improv comedy group Irony City. Right? You had a show last night, I believe.
Have a show last night.
How did that go?
It was really good. It was a good show.
At Arcade Comedy.
I was in a garbage can at Panera last night.
What?
That was a part of this.
Improvised.
Oh, okay.
Not literally.
Like, it's not that expensive. You know?
We're using our imagination.
Yeah.
Oh,
Adam.
I gotcha. Sorry, gotcha.
So,
were you getting the leftover pastries? Because that's something that I think about a lot.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, it was that some of her cohorts had established a scene where this lady was in Panera and ordering and not getting what she wanted from the people behind the counter. And then Renee upped that by being a person in the garbage can saying, like, this is where it all ends up. I've become addicted to the Panera, so I just live here in the garbage can, which is where all the food ends up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it was pretty fun.
That's great heightening. It really is.
It was a fun show last night. Irony City also played with the improv CLO improv jam this week. I took a day off that day. And then we also have a show coming up this coming Saturday too at Castle. So that'll be fun.
At the Castle.
Yeah.
I love that the late night after hours club of my underage youth has become a place for improv.
It's fun.
It just won't leave my life.
Oh, that's really fun.
You got to be in the know too, because it's like it's not technically a bar because it's in Bloomfield, so it's a members only club.
Yes. Oh,
no,
right.
Yes.
Social club.
Yeah.
So
one of the improvisers knows the barkeep there, so you have to know one of the improvisers who knows the barkeep to be allowed in.
It's so
Do you
true.
Have to call him a barkeep? Like,
barkeep? Bartender?
Like the
I
Old
call
West?
Him your honor.
You just walk up and you just slam any denomination on the counter, and he doesn't even count it. Just
oh,
gives you a beer.
Oh, denomination. I thought you meant like Episcopalian.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what you meant by that.
Just like,
we only allow Presbyterians in the Old West.
I would convert to go to the castle. It's worth it.
Yeah, they did that in every Old West thing. It was just like a bag of coins.
Yeah.
The barkeep doesn't even count it. He's polishing
a
glass.
I killed this rabbit before I got here.
You're like, oh, that's good. Shot of whiskey. No.
That is kind of the vibe there, for sure. Like, I don't know
so,
if
like,
I
how
ever
does he
really
conduct
paid
business?
For a drink. It's just very laid back. I don't think they're there to make money. It's just really there for the good times.
I feel like the
tip
logic is just
keeps.
the drunk throws the money out there and is like, just keep giving me drinks until this runs out. And then it's like to the barkeep's discretion.
Ooh.
Then he's like, no, you've
the
had
old,
enough. You need to put more
tab.
Money on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
like,
the
what
tab.
What do you
yeah.
got there? You got, look, a wanted poster, peanut shell. That works, you know? Thanks.
Good enough for
I've got
me.
A price on my head. I'll let you claim it after you give me booze.
Right. And it's always rye or whiskey. You know?
Yeah, right?
Always. Something to put hair on your chest, you know what I mean? Get out there fighting the bad guys, right?
always fighting the bad guys, as we do here on the Steel Plaza podcast. Okay, Renee, your resume continues. I have to give it justice.
Wait, what's a BFA?
What a Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Okay, I thought that was like some hip acronym, like a Facebook thing. Best friend something.
Best friends always.
Best friends always. Yes.
I don't actually have a degree. I'm just best friends with acting.
The bracelet that counts. So you also have a creative duo called When I'm Not a Person.
Yes.
Which, what is that about?
Karen Forney and I do a show where we ask, what are we today? And then people tell us inanimate objects that are best friends with each other. And then we do a show where we play those inanimate objects and then switch to a parallel scene where the humans are in the same world as the objects. And we slowly make them interact and come together, usually in some way.
Wow, so that's improv plus.
Yeah, and I would say, like, our main joy and my favorite thing about it is getting the opportunity to just personify everything. I don't know. It's fun.
I think a lot of improvisers who see it like that it's still funny, but it's less jokey and more feely. Like, there was one show that was a grill and a... It was a barbecue grill and a unicorn.
Yeah.
That just had a really, it's hard to even describe in words, just how special their relationship, how special it was, how special it was presented to the audience, and everyone got feels and welled up about how much this unicorn and grill cared for each other.
I specifically remember one of our, maybe our third show, we were beads.
Were you rolling around a lot?
Yeah, we were. No, and we try to do transitions like, oh no, someone's picking us up, and then we become the people picking.
Wow.
So we try to do these transferring scene thingies, when it happens. But I remember people coming up to us after that show because it was about like friendship bracelets and stuff, and like one of the characters was like moving away, and the other one didn't want them to go, and like people came up to us after that show and was like, we're like. I cried. And I was like, good. That's exactly what I want. Like,
I
want
to hurt people's feelings.
I want to hurt your feelings.
They're invested. That's something about improv that is maybe not well understood, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not always going to be the funniest because it's actually improvised theater. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, you got to come in ready to prepare to feel anything. Mm-hmm. And I really like that you do that. And I love that you are so physical on stage as well.
Thank you.
It takes a lot of bravery to be that way on stage.
Yeah, it helps that I have that best friends in acting, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's all I teach you. Like, how to be beads.
Yeah.
Like, today, all semester, we're going to learn how
to
be
will,
beads.
Though, like, in acting school, you do spend a lot of time just literally laying on the floor and, like, moving around. Like,
wow.
That's, like, 80% of what you do. Sorry, Quick Mark. That's what I have to say about you.
Little plug there.
There's academic theory behind it. There's reasoning as to why you do that.
Yeah.
They're like, write me a check. Thanks. When I go to see shows, I like to feel comfortable, right?
Okay.
Vulnerable and paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Paranoid?
Yes.
The trifecta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I like to get really antsy when I see a show. I'm just kidding. Anyway, right back after this.
Ray Ann's Clothier and Goods. High-end clothing at prices that anyone can afford. The always-changing inventory is bottomless. Alongside the high-end women's fashion is where you'll find an absolutely amazing array of vintage vinyl LP records. From collector's items to LP box sets to rare oddities that cannot be found anywhere else online. That's PGHCandG.com. PGHCandG.com. Alongside all of these great items, you'll also find handcrafted artisan handbags and accessories, locally made and one of a kind. Use our offer code SPRING to receive 10% off your entire purchase at checkout. Ray Ann's Clothier and Goods. PGHCandG.com.
Steel Plaza Podcast, right back here, 303 East Main Street from
Sound Color Productions.
Oh, it's a jingle. He jingled it. Why are they called jingles?
Oh.
I have to look that up. That always bothered me.
Yeah, that's a tough Sunday morning question.
Because it's not big enough to be a song.
Isn't jingle what coins do in Dickensian stories?
Dickensian?
Definition, please.
Well, in Christmas Carol, yeah. You know, doesn't Scrooge have his coins and they jingle in his pouch or something like that?
So it's like more of a repeatable sound than a repeatable song.
Or maybe it's just music that actually earns you money. Maybe that's...
Oh, that's what it is.
We need the jingle more often if that's the case, so...
Oh, yeah. I will sing for this podcast all day, every day. Okay.
See if we can do it in harmony after the next
commercial
break.
Ooh. Absolutely.
We can practice that.
The whole third segment. Let's just all just see what happens, okay? Just make some noises with our mouths.
I'm
going to
lay on the floor and just scream.
Oh, my gosh.
You have already earned your BFA in acting.
Oh, man. We're getting degrees.
Good for 12 credits.
Oh, wow. That's worth it. Definitely worth it. So, Steve, speaking of credits... Steve has training from UCB Training Center, Arcade Comedy Theater right here in lovely Pittsburgh, Steel City Improv Theater, which is also located in Pittsburgh right there on Ellsworth Avenue in Shadyside, and you have performed in the Pittsburgh New Works Festival, which I actually haven't heard of that. What is that about?
The Pittsburgh New Works Festival, I think actually it takes place in a theater not too far from here at Sound Color Productions Studio. It's at Off the Wall Theater Company. If you Google Pittsburgh New Works Festival, you'll find out more information about it. But I know some people who run it, and it's basically the idea is they get a whole lot of new playwrights, and then local production companies get to kind of bid on what they want to do. They get to pick which of these playwrights' pieces that they want to produce. And then they have big auditions, and they get a lot of actors in to be picked by those production companies to then do the world premiere of each of these pieces.
Ooh.
So it's a way to kind of try to get as many new works out there as possible, get as many things created as possible, and then they organize like a reading series throughout the years where they'll have additional readings of these pieces. So I was in a piece a little while back where I was an artist who was painting, and as he was painting a portrait of his wife was talking to him, and eventually, gradually as it went on, you found out, spoiler alert, that the wife was actually already deceased, and it was her ghost talking to him, and he was kind of in a mind battle for his life, because when he finished
this
painting, was he gonna end his life to join her in the afterlife or whatever? So that was a very interesting and intense acting experience. Learned a lot on that. I worked with R Act Productions, who are out of Rochester, Pennsylvania, who do a lot of fun stuff up there. But that was a very good experience. We've thought about doing that again, possibly the Pittsburgh.
What time of year does it happen?
Ooh, I'm trying to remember. I think it's around...
I think it's the end of summer or fall?
Yeah, I think it's around August.
We might be misguiding you.
Google Pittsburgh New Works Festival.
Yeah.
And
it'll be in the show notes.
And just another thing to add is that it's like 10-minute plays, so it's like a showcase of all these little short things from many people.
Yep.
So you both do a lot of theater, I'm hearing. And like, do you think Pittsburgh is a big theater town? Like, what has been your experience in the city particularly?
I think it's not New York or Chicago. There's not that much professional theater going on. And it's not like, say, Philadelphia, where you have, like, several hundred-year-old theater companies. But there's a lot of theater going on in Pittsburgh that you can just kind of get involved with if you want to.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of middle-level theater. And I don't mean that in any bad way, but there's, like, you have your, like, CLO, and then you have, obviously, stuff touring through, but you have a lot of these, like, little pop-ups that are, like, semi-professional level, which is really cool because you can dip your toe in stuff and, like, audition and do, like, not equity level, but, like, Lots of really interesting, weird shows going on in lots of little corners of Pittsburgh.
And then, like, the lowest level is the guy screaming at a sandwich outside of Get-Go.
That's good. Yeah.
We have a lot of that low level here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
This summer, I really am going to try to start street performing, which is something we don't have very much of in
the
city.
It's tough in Pittsburgh. I think part of the reason it's tough is I know...
The devil sticks aren't in style anymore.
Well, in downtown Pittsburgh, I think Market Square is the only area I can think of that's entirely public. Most other things are like public-private partnerships. If you're in PPG Plaza and PPG thinks that they don't like what you're doing, they can just tell you to leave.
Which is ridiculous because people protest there all the time.
Yeah.
Like, without any license. All they have to say is, hey, here goes an email. I'm going to type an email. I'm going to be protesting on Saturday. Mm. And that's absolutely acceptable.
Mm.
For now.
I think it's just hard for them to stop. I think when all the people show up, it's harder to kick them all out than it is to kick out, like, one person with a ukulele.
Yeah.
Well, here's how you get around that. You say, I'm going to protest with my ukulele. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my art will be very politically charged, believe me. Of course it will. Just for the record books, I'll be protesting. Well, it's interesting because we have the other thing from an audience side is that if you are interested in seeing some shows, something different for date night, you know? Like, we all know what a bar is like. We've all been to a bar. We've all been to dinner. Mm-hmm. We've all been to a restaurant. But to see some local theater is a whole different experience, and it's not that expensive. I mean, arcade tickets, those are, at Arcade Comedy Theater, that's like $7 to $12. $7 to $12. It's BYOB. And then at these little theaters, you know, you get this one-of-a-kind experience, and it's really accessible, and we do have a lot more theaters than people even know about.
Yeah. I was a big fan, before we were married, I was a big fan of going to the show first and then doing the dinner afterwards so you had something to talk about.
Oh.
That's a good strategy for date night.
As opposed to bringing note cards, which is usually what I do.
Note cards, yeah. Yep.
Okay, that's like much more smooth.
I think you find out if your date is a good theater participant.
Ooh.
If you're a bad theater participant, you leave them there. You're like, good night. You talk during the show. See you later.
Oh, no.
Well, now we're going to dinner? No? Drinks? No, I'm good.
Or you do the old, I gotta use the bathroom, I'll be right back, and you slip out the back door. Do one of those.
Doesn't that have a word now?
You just leave them with the bill.
Tinder dating?
Yeah, there's a Tinder word for, like, slipping out now.
Oh, is there?
Out of a date, yeah.
No, see, I was thinking of...
Not that kind of thing.
LastSecondSlipOut.com.
This is completely honest. I've never seen Tinder. I've never looked at someone else's Tinder. I've never been near a Tinder, so I'm not the person to ask.
Been Tinder.
I think I once in the Boy Scouts saw someone use a flint and Tinder.
Oh my gosh, get
different.
Out of my phone.
Yeah, but no, like, I got a buddy that does that specifically to get free meals. Like, he'll go on, like, those dating sites like Tinder and the other ones, I don't know if they are, but any, you know, woman that gives him any kind of attention whatsoever, he's like, let's go out. What days are you available?
Oh, man.
And then he'll go there, and then he'll order this great big meal, eat, and he'll be like, I'll be right back. And then he just leaves. Yeah.
Oh, my stars.
I don't like him.
Dating foul.
Your friend is not a gentleman.
They can't all be gentlemen. But, you know.
That happened to me in New York City once.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. This I should have known, because the non-gentleman was ordering, I'm pretty sure it was Mai Tais or Pina Coladas. Like, it was something elaborate. And so he kept getting these, like, giant drinks. And I was like, wow, he's really going to town, isn't he? And he was like, oh, I'm going to go outside to smoke. And I was sitting there, and I was in Harlem, and wasn't familiar with the area. And, it was a few minutes later, I was looking around. Oh, the bartender's at the other end of the bar. Well, he left, so I left, too.
Wow.
I wasn't going to pay for a bunch of Mai Tais.
Well,
no.
I mean, your first clue should have been that he had empty Tupperware containers and he was filling it with lobster, you know?
He was eating out of the bar accoutrement, like the cherries and the, and the lemons,
hey,
and stuff.
Dude, why do you have one of those large women's handbags? No reason, is he just, like, stuffing the food in.
Yeah, I was so naive.
Was that an online date thing, or?
No, that was, Oh, that was, I was young. That was a met on the subway day. So,
wow.
I guess it all makes sense now that I say that out loud.
Yeah. When were you in New York? What were you doing there?
I was in New York visiting friends for a few weeks. Okay. And I was, this was seriously, like, I was 20. I think I was 20 years old. So I was just making those mistakes. You know, learning. Renee looks so concerned. Oh. Renee is like
officially
scowling.
She's
at
officially
me.
Mad.
No, I was,
Renee's like, put on a sweater before you
sometimes
go outside.
Sometimes I'm thinking of a very long list of things, but now you're gonna hear them. So first I was like, what did I do when I was 20? And then I was like, I had the worst dating year ever when I was like 20.
Ooh.
Like that's the year that you make stupid decisions and just hang out with really dumb people just to see what people are like. And then I was like, would I go out on a date with someone I met on the subway? And I was like, yes. Yeah, I would.
Yes.
I'm married now, but I would have done that.
Thank you.
I met a cashier at Sunoco and talked to him for a long time. But
wow.
Like, yeah, so like that's weird.
Yeah.
That was a weird
choice.
That
might be even weirder. Because you know what he does, you know? This man was a mystery to me. That's sexy.
You don't know what the man at Sunoco does. He may go to school at night.
I don't even remember, honestly.
Yeah, but you know what his job, current job is and what his hours are, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's true. You know where to find him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, yeah.
He's like a sitting
good for
duck.
You, though, for,
thank
like,
you.
Taking the chance.
Well, the other thing that the other reason that date was so messed up is that he might have caught on that I was using a fake British accent.
Okay, all right.
Maybe he was just punking me back.
Yeah.
Because I was eating a piece of gum on the subway, and he was like, oh, could I have one of those? And so my brain was immediately like, how do I respond? I know with a voice. Of course, you can have whatever you'd like for me. And I'm sure that was just like terrible and awful. And he was like, I'm gonna play this freak for all she's worth.
That's hilarious though. I like the conning the con.
Yeah.
So like,
good.
Now you have a really good story and you lived it up when you were 20 years old. And
exactly. And when they were yelling at me at the bar, it was in Spanish, so I didn't understand them.
And you're like, crikey, I don't know.
I didn't know anything about this.
Did you like continue it going?
Oh, I just kept going the entire weekend. I mean, you don't stop once you start, you know.
Oh my god.
Like, I can't turn it off.
This is who I am now.
You go to the bank.
I am now Dame Judi Dench.
Yes.
Forever.
I'm a criminal.
Dame Judi Dench.
Stealing my ties all around the city of New York.
Go to PNC and request British pounds, you know. Paper.
I don't think doing a Dame Judi Dench would pick up anyone on the subway. That would just be like, whoa, no lady, I'm good.
Well, yeah, you might pick up that same guy again. Maybe that's his thing, you know.
Just start reciting Lady Macbeth's lines at him, see what happens.
Unsex me. Is that right?
No, I meant sex me. I meant to proposition a date.
Sex me, please.
I think, you know what, though? That's, now that you mention it, that's like a really weird untapped market, like Sunoco's and Get-Go's and even like drive-thrus, because not only do you know their name, well, you know their name because they give you a receipt and it says your cashier was. So it's like, wow, you're like 48% set up for stalking. You know, like it's all right there.
Who needs to slide right when you can just get a hamburger?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that. I was like,
right.
Is this gonna be a phrase? Nope. What
I mean,
said
I'm
not.
I'm probably not gonna get a Sunoco burger. That's probably not gonna happen.
Does that exist, Sunoco burgers?
I feel like they might have like those burgers that are like prepackaged. You know, that come in like the shrink
wrap.
Oh
yeah.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Have, like,
I got
the little like mayonnaise packet in there, and you're like, why would I have mayonnaise on a burger? Why would I do that?
I hate mayonnaise.
What?
I really hate mayonnaise.
I would put mayonnaise on a burger.
Oh, hell yeah.
I know that at the truck stop Love's gas stations on the interstate, they have that, like, hamburger tube that's, like, supposed
tube.
To be a hot dog.
Oh.
I'm really enjoying that.
You're saying it's a tube of burger meat.
Yeah, it's really
pretty
weird.
Long tube, I noticed. Yeah.
And I, like, well, anyway, so I stood there for a very long time considering getting it and eating it, and then I was like, well, what if this is disgusting, you know, upon first bite? So
you tested it.
Give it a little nibble.
Yeah, I did the look where you turn your head and look over your shoulder both ways to see if anybody's like actually seeing.
Yeah.
That there's a crazy person looking at a tube of meat, and like what's
staring at it.
Yeah, just leering.
And you had just gotten out of the love shower, so you were all wet.
Yeah. So I was like, using my T-shirt as a towel around my waist, just staring at the tube of meat.
I've been to Lowe's quite a bit. I used to go down to DC all the time on the bus, and like for some reason the cheap buses, it always goes down that interstate, and it always because they have too cheap for the turnpike, which has the nice you know rest stops. And oh, Lowe's, you know, you could write an entire sitcom based on what you see there. Woo, shake it off.
Right. Gotta shake off that meat tube. All right, right back after this.
Ever heard of a podcast? People listen to them, they subscribe to them, and they love them. And as a business, doesn't that sound like something you want to be a part of? Well, now you can when you advertise on the Steel Plaza Podcast. Imagine you have a team of creative, technical people at your disposal and a killer podcast just to spread the word about your business. Getting the old business into a new media is not for the faint of heart. But it can happen with the help of the Steel Plaza Podcast. Get a free estimate by emailing us at steelplazapodcast@gmail.com today.
Steel Plaza Podcast, 303 East Main Street, right here in Carnegie from Sound Color Productions in the studio. We don't have a musical guest today, so I thought maybe we could talk about some of our favorite musical artists. Cora, what's some of yours?
Ooh, I am really digging on Darwin Dees, always.
Is that in your heavy rotation?
Heavy rotation. Okay. I have his actual CD.
Her name
is giving me the judgment face
no,
again.
No, I don't know music. No, I know music, but I know, like, dorky musicals. And continue. I wasn't
well, we
judging
definitely
you.
Talk about that.
I was judging myself.
Okay.
It's okay.
Tell us about Darwin Dees.
So yeah. Darwin Dees is this, like, he writes these lyrics. Like, he has an entire song about the end of the world. And just, like, there's essentially saying, like, all of my hair is falling out. And, like, the end is here right now. And he, like, just writes amazing lyrics and does amazing guitar work. I spent a little bit of time following him around a few summers because I just needed to see him live as much as I possibly could. So that's in my heavy rotation. Have the CD in my car. Also, in my heavy rotation always is Bombadil. Such weirdos, love them very much. They're like twangy piano synth pop. Who knows what I'm into. And then Andrew Bird is always one of my favorites. He like centers me and calms me down, and I will love him forever. How about you, Steve?
That's nice. Let me start off by saying that I am old. So and the reason I know I'm old is because I've gotten to a point where people will say it's on the radio, and I literally don't know. Renee, whatever day jobs is nannying, so she has, like, kids who are singing things that are on the radio, and she sometimes will sing those.
This is true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I tend to have a few artists that I follow or stuff that I listen to repetitively. So one thing I'm really looking forward to is that in the summer we're going to go to a concert of Punch Brothers, which is... it's either well-known or not well-known, but depending on whether you know it. Punch Brothers is led by a guy named Chris Thiele, who's a mandolin player who's currently the host of Prairie Home Companion. He picked up for Garrison Keillor, who was on public radio hosting this show forever, and he made it much cooler. But yeah, what Punch Brothers is, and what Chris Thiele does with other bands as well, is... basically, they have bluegrass instruments, but they play other stuff. They play...
oh, that's so cool. I always love that.
They play, like, classical music. They play jazz music. They, like, do covers of Beatles songs. And then they do their own stuff, which is just them doing as much that's interesting to them as musicians, but they just happen to be doing it with bluegrass instruments because they've all been playing those since they were kids.
It's, like, such a lost art. Like, to be able to move both of your hands that fast... and be so, like, dexterous with both of all of your phalanges, and, you know, at the same time. I tried the banjo once for a week, and I got so frustrated. I was like, no, I don't want to do this. And I threw it into the street.
Oh,
I didn't do that. But I just, no, I put it away.
That's a good image.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's banjo every once in a while, but it's like a guitar, but it's not. It's like I almost know what the tune should be.
Right.
I can't get a handle to those finger picks, those like metal picks that you put on to play banjo. Those are a pain on the fingers.
It's so. My brain doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like watching people almost in the same way, slap bass, you know?
Yeah.
And you're watching the left hand and the right hand, you're like, okay, I can do this. And then you sit down and you're like, no, I can't. I can't. This is something I cannot do.
Takes time and experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Punch Brothers a lot. Another group I can just always listen to is Foo Fighters. I used to be really into the singer-songwriter scene here, and there's some people from there that I still know. There's a show at Arcade Comedy Theater called Playlist where they have a musician from the local singer-songwriter community come in, sing one of their songs. An improviser will come up and talk to them about it, or what did that mean to you while you were writing the song? And then improvisers will perform in it. And Cora performs in that. I've performed in that as a guest before. But that's a really fun way to see a lot of faces of people that I knew before from my previous life as a singer-songwriter. So like Zoob and Zoob and Tim Ruff and Morgan Arena and Jeremy Kaywood.
Mm-hmm. Morgan Arena and Jeremy Kaywood will be coming on the podcast in the next couple of months. And Nathan Zoob is in Recluse, and we had Max Somerville from Recluse on the podcast. Yep. Yeah,
Max Somerville is just the thing is like he'll be like in a band and he'll just sing and you'll be like, wow. He's got a great voice.
Yes.
And then he's like playing guitar. And you're like, oh, he can play guitar too. That's pretty cool. And then he plays piano. And you're like, this mofo's classically trained.
Yeah.
Like you talk about like, how do they do it with the two hands? He's like got one hand playing the bass part and playing a chord part. And then his right hand is playing things in octaves, which for any non-musicians who don't know what that means, stretch your thumb and pinky out as far from each other as possible. And then imagine that you actually play anything coherently that way.
Oh,
like, he's just got such skill. The other guys in that band are amazing, too. Zoob is, like, my guitar hero forever. But when Max plays piano, I'm just like, I don't even know how you would become that musician. Mm. Like, those guys are just great.
I mean, unless his dad was Joe Jackson, you know. That's not nice.
The Playlist is a monthly show at Arcade Comedy Theater. And I was actually talking to someone from Toronto the other night, and he was mentioning that in Toronto, there's Toronto Second City, and that's what you do there, is people go to see improv, they go to see comedy. And I'm hoping that possibly through this podcast a little bit, we can make going to see an improv show a regular date night for Pittsburghers. And something that I think maybe the show that you and Renee have created and produced, Your Life the Musical, might be getting up there with something that people really go out of their way and they follow you guys, because Your Life the Musical is a phenomenal production. So if you guys could tell us a little bit more about that, that would be so great.
So this is a new thing you're doing, or?
How long has it been going on?
No, it's been going on for quite a long time.
I've never seen it, but I appreciate that it exists.
It's had a couple of incarnations. So I guess really the start of this story is that me and my friend Brett Baver were in an improv class together at Steel City Improv Theater back in the day. And then Irony City, which is a group that Renee's in now, but has had a long history. They wanted to do a musical show and get a piano player, but they couldn't, so they got a guitar player. And then me and Brett were watching this show, and Brett was like, that's what I want to do, man. Just make up songs on the spot and sing like it's Broadway. And I'm looking at that guitar player, and I'm like, I can do that. He's playing like three chords. I can totally do that. So we then started a group called Wonder Studies, and that was around for about 2 years back at Steel City Improv Theater. When that dissolved and Arcade Comedy Theater started, then Brett developed Your Life the Musical. And the idea there is that we interview someone who's in the crowd and about their life, and then we perform that as a musical. We make up a musical on the spot about that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So then Brett was in charge of that, and it was kind of a one-off for a while, and then it happened every few months, and then Renee and I took it over, and we've been doing it for about a year now, gradually building up the awareness of it. I feel like everything with improv in Pittsburgh is kind of an in-crowd thing. You know, people who do improv get very dedicated to it. You know, take a lot of classes, like hang out with other people who do improv, and they're like, get really into it as like an artistic expression, a way to meet people. And because of that, I feel like there's some people who already know that's the date night thing to do, is to go out and see a good improv show. But then there are other people who just aren't aware yet because it needs to break out and get bigger. So I'm sure it will.
So I have a question. So if it's like a couple, you know what I mean? And like, they're obviously like they're not getting along or something like that, and they slip you a 20. Can you make it really mean spirited to the other person? Like, I'm a total jerk and I'm a deadbeat.
You know. Is there any particular person you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah,
is there someone in your life?
I'm just saying it could go either way.
We usually get one person, but sometimes another person has to help out. Like, I remember we had a bachelor party show up.
I love that one.
And because we had been told there was a bachelor party, we were like, well, we're gonna interview the groom to be. So then we're like, we hear there's a bachelor in the audience, and then like a guy goes, he's in the bathroom right now. And we're like, we're assuming you're the best man who said that. He's like, yep, all right, you come up on stage, you talk for him. And this guy like told us his story until the guy came out of the bathroom, and then everyone applauded for him. Yeah, that guy's name was Wolf,
which was great to start.
That was great to start.
But this couple had met on a Doctor Who dating website.
What?
So that was a very fun show.
They met on a Doctor Who themed dating site. And they lived in different states. And then after like a year of Doctor Who dating, they then decided to meet. And so then this guy brought his friend Wolf with him
to their first date in the TARDIS.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they all met up at like it was some like coffee place like halfway between them that they met up and like met to have their first date and play like a weird board game.
That there's so many weird things. Like, well, that one's one of the more popular things, the Doctor Who. But I did come across a huge weird fan base for the movie Dune, which was a terrible movie.
People are into that.
Well, Dune as a book is like one of the forefront books of sci-fi, though.
Yeah, there are people
who don't know the movie very well.
There are people who are into it as a book. There are people who are into the book and the movie as sci-fi. And then there are people who are just into the movie because of David Lynch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the movie
David Lynch
is
people are so into it.
So unwatchable, is that a word?
Yeah.
It's so hard to follow. You have to watch it
it's
over. You have to, you gotta, wait, what was that? You know, and these weird words that he made up.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what does that relate to? And then there's these cut scenes of just a woman's head explaining things.
Mm. That's a lot like Your Life the Musical, actually.
Yeah, we have giant sandworm.
Your Life the Musical is directed by David Lynch.
Yeah, and they do Spice. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot of... But we have a lot of nutty people coming. We also had it happen once where we had a girl on stage telling us about her life, and Renee was like, tell us about your dreams, and she started telling us about...
I one time had a dream that Donald Trump's hair was a squirrel, and then the squirrel, what was it, like the squirrel jumped off his head and like,
she's telling us about this, and then from the audience, her friend's like, she means your aspirations.
But of course, we have to take those mistakes or those things in the interview.
Absolutely.
So you can be assured that
that's
Donald
what we
Trump's
do. That's that's a principle of improv is yes and. You take whatever the other person is giving you and you say, yes, that is true, and what can I put on top of it? So that's what we do with Your Life the Musical is we take what people tell us about their lives, we say yes to that, and we add music and theater to that, which is a really fun process.
It's a joy to watch, it truly is. And you do such a great job of maintaining your cast and training any guests that you have. So all the hard work you put into the show really shows. Yeah.
We do what we can. That's also an aspect of it, is trying to get new people rotated in. Cora's been with us in the show once before.
Oh, stop.
And will be
such
again
joy
in the future. That's an aspect of it. When me and my buddy Brett were starting the show, there was another show called The Death Show that started at Steel City Improv Theater.
That's still running.
Migrated Arcade. Yeah, it's still a thing. Chris Gelati is the guy. Chris Greg Gelati. Pick which first name you'd like for him. Who's just a huge huge pillar of the Pittsburgh improv community, runs that, and it the way he has it set up is that it's a funeral themed herald. A herald is a kind of improv structure, but it's themed for a funeral, and so this is a thing that a lot of improvisers think is fun to play with. So he deliberately structured that team so they had a few core people, and then he'd have other people rotate in as a way of getting to play with new fun people.
That's cool. So like you're doing like eulogies and
yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah,
exactly.
That's really
and
cool.
Then at the end, whoever is the dead person, because they're eulogizing while one of the improvisers is like lying on chairs as though they're in the casket. At the very end, the person who has been in the casket the whole time does their video diary like right before they passed away.
That's charming.
Yeah.
we were talking about like not too long ago obituaries, how I want to write my own and just have it there, because I've read so many obituaries because I'm weird. I read them because it's on the Trib Live site. But anyway.
Well, that's the thing you're supposed to do to be a courteous person is to read and then, you know,
and,
like
yeah.
pass on condolences to the people you know and stuff like that.
But some of the descriptions of the recently departed are so vanilla. It's like, don't you want some record of you being alive? Like one said, was great at crosswords and loved Jeopardy. Like, that's all you have to say about this person?
Yeah. And it's like, might be. And that might be the love of their life is the crossword.
Yeah, I don't loved know. Crosswords in Jeopardy.
No,
and
that person was definitely a secret agent.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The crosswords were actually like decoding things.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like I
read between the lines, Adam.
What do you want on your obituary then?
Oh,
that you're gonna write up and leave to posterity.
Unprecedented leadership, brilliance to start, and then I'll just go from there. But yeah,
wrestled a cougar with bare hands.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I don't want mine to be
nude.
Be like truthful, because if I'm remembered, I want to be remembered truthfully.
So yours would be Love Jeopardy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know if I've ever watched an entire episode of Jeopardy.
Use
really?
A British accent for entire weekend.
Yeah. Ran out on bar tab. Yeah. Still was a decent person overall. Volunteered away that karma. Had really bad dandruff. Never really got that.
Made
taken
mistakes,
care of.
But mistakes were good stories.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of mistakes. What shows you guys have coming up that you're gonna make funnies out of little failures?
We have a Your Life show coming up this
yep.
coming Friday.
Oh yes,
first Friday of the month.
So first Friday of the month is always Your Life the musical. So
yep.
come.
First Friday, 8 p.m. at Arcade Comedy Theater.
Yeah. And then I have Irony City coming up on Saturday, like I said, at the Castle, the secret weird place in Bloomfield.
And what day is that, in case
that
anyone is
Saturday,
in the know?
Saturday, 8 p.m.? I believe it's 8 p.m. Yes.
If you're in the know, you know.
If you're not in the know,
someone is in the know.
Tough
yeah.
luck.
But Irony City also performs, well, just performed last night, and performs each month
yeah.
with...
first Saturday of the month with Dinner with the Nolans. We open for them, mm-hmm. so...
And the Nolans are two of the owners of Arcade Comedy Theater, two of the founders of Arcade Comedy Theater, who are...
That's awesome.
...expert veterans. They have experience from Second City in Chicago and from Boom Chicago in Amsterdam, which is mm-hmm. a place over in Europe where they do improv. So they have many years of experience.
Guaranteed
and it's been
high quality show.
It's been a real benefit to Pittsburgh to have them here.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right. Well.
Well, it was Adam's birthday.
Oh.
Our fearless co-host.
Look at this.
So.
I was like, why are you pulling cakes out of bags? I'm like
That's
sitting here watching
cake.
Her do
I'm
this, and, but I'm trying to listen to you, and I'm like, what in the fuck?
I'm distracting everyone.
I was like,
my lighter.
Like, you didn't have breakfast? What are you doing?
No, we're singing to you, Adam.
You're singing to me.
Adam,
oh.
it was
oh.
your birthday, and
it
we
was,
celebrate
it was.
Your life. And your creation of this beautiful Steel Plaza podcast.
Oh.
So, 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Adam. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm going to blow
and
out this.
Many more.
Make some wishes.
Make some wishes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't tell us.
All right. I made, yeah.
Woo!
Great.
Happy birthday.
This.
And everyone, listening. Thank you so much for supporting local music and comedy. Well, this has been Steel Plaza Podcast. You can now find us on all the podcast venues, iTunes, Stitcher, etc., etc.
And don't forget to visit our YouTube page for all the archived episodes that you can't get anywhere else. Subscribe and
leave us a review.
Leave us a review. We love getting feedback. We don't, but we do.
No, we really do. I can take it, guys. Okay. I can take it. This is Cora speaking. I can take it.
Every time I see a review, I just want to hit the delete button without reading it.
Adam's lying. We really love them.
Just address all the feedback to Cora.
I'll love it. I'll write you right back.
Specifically write, "Dear Cora," and then in parentheses, "not Adam."
Just like, oh, whew, that was about her.
Then we know you're a real fan.
Oh, yes.
And then, thank you so much, Steve and Renee, for coming on today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Looking forward to seeing
you.
Oh,
we should say, if you're interested in Your Life, you can also look us up at facebook.com/yourlifeimprov.
That's wonderful. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And if you liked what you heard at the top of the show in the bumper music, as always, go to thewireriots.com to check out all of their hits. And that is it for this episode. We will see you very soon. And keep tuning in, keep telling a friend, keep listening. Thanks.